Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towns of Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting through this tampering period and free agent period. If there is any breaking news on the NFL side or the Orioles side, maybe they'll sign a pitcher. Who knows? You'll get it first on the WNST text service. That is all brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing and Gordian Energy. All you need to do is just text right now. Just text join or WNST to 410-821-9678. You're on the text service. You get it first. As we did several times on Monday, Luke Jones is now here to discuss that. We're going to be getting together on Friday at CVP Towson. Yes. Despite the fact that the Towson Tigers were upset by the upstart Blue Hens of Delaware, it's almost like it's amazing they don't have a Flacco on that team at this point. But nonetheless, a disappointing fall there. But we will be over at the CVP. And I will have scratch offs from the Maryland Lottery. I'll have these magic eight ball scratch offs to give away. Luke, they're purple. A lot of bruised purple feelings every year this time of year when Eric DaCosta gets up, doesn't have Justin Tucker rumors around it, but has to get up in Indianapolis and say, well, we're not going to be big players in free agency. This is always usually your beat, right? To get the departures more than the additions.
Yeah, I think, and we talked about this coming out of the weekend, when you get the Ronnie Stanley deal done, which was absolutely their top order of business this offseason. That's not to say they're not going to make some other moves of note at some point here, maybe in the next couple of days, but this has been a very Ravens-like start to free agency, where you might have one big ticket item, which is typically a re-signing. We talked about it how last year it was Nnamdi Matabike. They got Stanley done, and then you kind of sit back and you see what happens. And I think this year, more so than other years, this wasn't a great Ravens class of free agents. I mean, make no mistake, Patrick McCary has been a good soldier for the Ravens. He's been versatile, he's been very valuable for them at times. He was a starting left guard this year for them, but we're not talking about someone that you would ever anticipate giving $12 million per year on the open market, yet the Jacksonville Jaguars are doing that. And God bless McCary. He's earned a nice payday. He had a nice season as a full-time starter, really for the first time in his career. But
And he'll be a nice average guard for them if he's going to play every snap. And I don't know at this point if I don't, that's a lot of money. You know what I
yeah,
mean?
it is.
That's a lot of money to say we can't go get a guy in the draft, right? That could play
Yeah,
guard.
well, or you just say, or we go back to what our plan was before he got hurt in week three, Andrew Voorhees at left guard. But I think they're going to add someone of note in the draft at the guard position. Not necessarily in the first round per se, but in the first three rounds, let's say. I would say that's a pretty decent bet, or at least the first four rounds.
Well, if it gives you any idea whether the Ravens still have good football players, they always get these sandwich picks. They always get rid of guys. They make mistakes on Marcus Williams, but they're not going to let Kyle Hamilton get out of here. They're not going to let Tyler Linder, they didn't let Lamar Jackson get out despite all the mess. And the fact that he probably could have gone, quite frankly, like that could have happened. They usually do well this time of year. When they're not dealing with their kicker being a, potential predator, that's all.
They do well this time of year in terms of valuing players. I mean, let's face it, we can get into McCary, we can get into Malik Harrison, we can get into Brandon Stevens, and all of those examples. I mean, Brandon Stevens, how about the fact that he got the money he's getting from the New York Jets after what was not a very good season? I mean, I think the writing was on the wall that the Ravens, even if it was at a much, much, much cheaper rate, would have been lukewarm at best about keeping
Well,
Brandon
they didn't think he
Stevens.
was a great
So,
corner, and they didn't think he was a safety, and you never really figured out what he was, right?
yeah, well, I mean, look, he in 2023, when Humphrey was hurt and missed what large portions of, I think it was 10 games, it was, I think, 8 games he missed entirely, and then a couple others he exited fairly early. Brandon Stevens was an unsung hero, but gave up too many big plays last year. I think his confidence suffered. The safety play did not help him out at all, but I mean,
Well, he almost
really?
got picked on too, once you're not going
Oh,
after
yeah, he
Humphrey, right?
absolutely
So
got
that's
picked
that.
on. And especially even as Nate Wiggins, his confidence grew as the year went on as a rookie. But 3 years, $36 million. I think the common theme, and this was the common thread throughout the league, we talked about over the weekend how It seemed like there was a higher number of re-signings than usual. And then I said, this might have the opposite effect on what had already been perceived to be a lukewarm free agent market, but those that are actually hitting the market might do very well for themselves now. And that's exactly how it played out. So how many times, forget about the Ravens specific free agents, but as the news was coming out and agreements were coming out, how many of those did you say, wow, that's a lot of money for that guy? Or in some cases, who is that guy? And you saw some of the money that some very run-of-the-mill pedestrian players that, compared to their peers, got on the open market. I mean, it was just very surprising in that way. So from that standpoint, no, I'm not surprised that the Ravens weren't extremely active on the first day of the tampering period, just because of what the numbers were. Now, I think it's important to remember, and this is kind of just a big picture point, the salary cap's gone up quite a bit over the last 3, 4, 5 years. As we've gotten on the other side of COVID, it's started to shoot back up. So I think that's important to remember that a $2 million player now is not the same as it was five years ago, let alone talking about Patrick McCary, for example. I would have, if you had asked me before free agency started, I would have had him pegged for maybe an $8 million guard. That I think if you look, like John Simpson, you look at what he got last year from the Jets when he left the Ravens, and he got 12. Now, was he overpaid, relative to what he probably is as a player? I mean, maybe, but the cap has also gone up. So I think it's important to keep in mind those percentages. It's why, we've focused on quarterbacks as it pertains to the cap, but really, if this is all, if the market's working the way it should, salary should be going up across the board because the cap's going up. So that's something to keep in mind. But that said, again, when you're talking about Patrick McCary, 12 plus million dollars, Brandon Stevens, 12 plus or $12 million per year, Malik Harrison, who I actually thought the Ravens would bring back, it felt like that was the kind of player that they would bring back given his versatility. But, the Steelers give him 2 years, $10 million agreement in principle anyway. So, it just speaks to the kind of start to free agency that we typically see. But my other big takeaway, and I noted this from the time that it came out that the Titans were signing the Steelers left tackle, Dan Moore, who, was a solid player. But if you ask people in Pittsburgh, you ask Steelers fans, at times he was viewed as a liability. He gets 4 years, $82 million. I think you see that. You see what the Chiefs ended up giving Jalen Moore from the 49ers, who filled in nicely this past year, but has never really been a full-time starter. He gets 2 years, $30 million. I saw those two deals, and the first thing I thought was, I think the Ravens and Ronnie Stanley made a nice compromise to stay together. I think for as much as the Ravens may have wanted to avoid $20 million per year, Stanley was going to get way more than that on the open market. And I think it reflects Ronnie Stanley wanted to stay with the Ravens. I think he wanted to get to 20, and we kind of talked about that being the, kind of the price point that made sense to kind of save some face from his perspective as well. But you're telling me if Dan Moore got 20.5 million per year, understanding he's 4 years younger, I understand that, but Ronnie Stanley would have definitely, he would have gotten 22, 23, if not approaching 25 million per
But what
year.
were his options, and where was he going to go and get that money? That's the
Stanley,
question.
I mean,
I mean, Brandon Stevens went to the Jets. He's going to be 4-13. You know what I mean? Like, he's
sure.
going
And
to a place where he can't win. And
that's
I
part
think
of it.
Ronnie
Yeah.
Stanley's tired of like losing in January, quite frankly. He'd like to win in January.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wants to win in January, and okay, the Ravens haven't broken through, but they're there and they have a chance every year in January, which
Well, they
is
still might be his best chance.
sure. Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, would the Chiefs have offered Stanley more money than they gave Jalen Moore? I'm sure. But as I pointed out the other day, the Chiefs still tight against the cap, right? I mean, it's not, that's easier said than done with some of these deals. But
Well, it speaks to the value of the
someone.
left tackle. You and I talked at length during the Ronnie Stanley thing about quarterback, cornerback, left tackle, wide receiver, rush edge in some sort of order. Those, and you know what, dude? I'll be really honest with you. That's what Marvin Lewis told me in 1996, 97, when he's trying to teach me football, where the money was going to go. And it hasn't changed. In 30 years, it hasn't changed. I mean, left tackle, John Ogden, first pick of the franchise, right? So how important is it? $20 million important and more to other teams who don't have it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's one of those positions, and we've talked a lot about positional value in recent years. I mean, you and I talked and had some healthy debate about Roquan Smith, and what the Ravens ultimately gave him, and what that position, how it's been valued or not valued as highly in recent years. I feel like it's kind of swinging back the other direction that it's being valued again. But we've talked a lot about positional value. If it's one of those premium positions, yeah, you're going, if you want to have anyone of quality, you're probably going to have to I don't want to even say overpay, because the market dictates that it's not an overpay, but you're probably going to have to step outside your comfort zone a little bit more. Left tackle's not a spot where you're going to go dumpster diving for a bargain, right?
Well, I would
Same
also
with,
say that part of it is you play the game of chess, it protects your king, right?
no
So,
question.
like, no matter who your king is, even if you're New England and your king stinks, or you're Pittsburgh and you don't know who your king is, or like whatever it is, the left tackle position is still like, even if your quarterback stinks, you better make sure your left tackle's good. And if your quarterback's Patrick Mahomes and your left tackle stinks, Patrick Mahomes can't win.
Well, you look at the Chiefs, okay? They made the Super Bowl in 19, they won. They made it in 20, they lost. Go back and look at 20, had issues and injuries on their offensive line, specifically the left tackle, but multiple spots. The other Super Bowl they've lost was this past February. They
How
had
about the
issues
Super
at
Bowl
left.
they didn't get to that let the Bengals in?
Sure. Well, but I'm
That
just.
was also a factor of that, right?
Well, but. Those 2 years that where they lost a Super Bowl, they got to a Super Bowl, but then you saw not having a left tackle that you really trust, it blew up in their face on the biggest stage. Now, again, other teams would say, well, that's kind of a first world problem you're talking about
Well, if
if.
your offense gets blown up in Mississippi too, whether you're in a run or a pass because your left tackle can't hold water and he's losing 80% of his snaps, you're going to get your ass kicked. I mean, eventually something bad's going to happen to your quarterback or something bad's going to happen to your offense. It's blowing the ball up, nothing
No
else.
question, no question. So that's why, okay, people might sit here, and I didn't see much disenchantment about the Ronnie Stanley contract or re-signing or any of that, because I think everyone recognizes it. But even if we're to make the argument to say, I'm not sure Ronnie Stanley's a top five or a top seven, and you can kind of massage the numbers and look at it any way you want to kind of see where he ranks. Even if you say he's not, and you say maybe he's only the 10th best left tackle in the league now, well, you still have the 10th best tackle in the league, or you still have the 12th best left tackle in the league, and that's good enough to win. And what's the alternative, right? And that's where we go back to, if the Ravens had not gotten this done, what are they looking at, overpaying Dan Moore or Jalen Moore, or going into the draft and saying, all right, well, we hope that guy's there at 27, or we hope that guy's there in the second round, and we hope Roger Rosengarten can play left tackle, and we're going to try to find a right. None of those scenarios were remotely optimal, or even something where you would say is something you feel very comfortable about if you're a Super Bowl contender, and the
Well,
Ravens are
they
that.
last year they
So.
went away from Zeitler and Moses like quickly and with great conviction in the draft with Rosengarten and like all of that. And you and I spent, let's see,
Sure.
May, June, July, August, parts of September talking about their offensive line. And then it became question number one the minute the season ended was Ronnie Stanley, Ronnie Stanley.
Yeah.
It's the thing they addressed first. It was the thing that DeCosta didn't, he knows speaky on Justin Tucker and don't know much about Mark Andrews, but they knew they wanted to sign Ronnie Stanley 2 weeks ago, right? So, it's very clear where their order of business was. They still play football there. They understand what a left tackle, the value is versus guards, versus right tackles, and even versus centers that, and I keep saying to you, every time they've had a center problem, they've had an offensive problem. And every time Matt Burke went away and Marshall Yanda went away and John Ogden went away, when they've lost really good players, I mean, they're still trying to replace Ed Reed to some degree. But I mean, on the offensive line, it's been 5 years for Marshall Yanda. He's, halfway into, they've got 1 foot in the Hall of Fame, and they still haven't seen that level of play.
Yeah, well, and let's be clear, when we're talking about replacing Hall of Famers, that's a different animal entirely. But I think you just said it, talking about last year. I think that's a reason why I was at a point where if the Ronnie Stanley ask got crazy, like for example, he had been asking the Ravens for 25 per year, that's where I'd say that's too much risk. I think 20 was, I think that was a fair number in terms of still making him look whole compared to what he had been making over the previous contract prior to last year with the pay cut. And I think if you're the Ravens, you say, look, even if on the open market, you're a $25 million tackle per, and again, I'm talking AAV when I say that for anyone listening, but you also missed a ton of time over the last 4 years, right? And you're a year older, and there's still a question about availability. And just because you played every game this past year doesn't mean that we can completely buy in that you're never going to have issues with injuries again. So that's where I said I think both sides gave some ground here. And ultimately, when you get something done, unless it's a case like what happened with Cleveland and Myles Garrett, which is just bizarre and speaks to why the Browns are the Browns and will continue to be the Browns. But I think when you have a case where both sides want to get something done, both sides have pride, but not to the point where it's going to be their downfall in a negotiation. They say, yeah, Ronnie, we'll come up from, and I don't, I'm just throwing this out as an example. We'll come out from eight, we'll come up from 18, or we'll come up from what our guarantee was over the first 2 years previously, and we'll come up to this number. And then on the flip side, Ronnie Stanley says, yeah, I'm almost positive I could have gotten 23 or 24 per year from someone like New England who has cap space to to use, but I'm not going to have a chance to win there. And I'm comfortable here and I like it here and I
Well, the
respect the.
player rep part of him has to take that in.
Sure. Well, and
And
that's.
the player rep part of him also, I think sometimes, especially, look, I've been around this forever and I talk about it more than anybody. And I think I understand it better than anybody running a business. But in baseball, the tired ass 35-year-old players in the old days were the dogs that dug in, even though they had nothing to gain to give it to the kids or whatever, at least theoretically, that's the way Marvin Miller kind of set up the baseball thing. Football's been just bending over and bending over and bending over as long as there's been a franchise here. They're going to get their 18th game. I'm writing my dear Roger Goodell note here. I mean, the league never loses. The owners always win. It's one of those things. For players like Ronnie Stanley, who've been in the training room as much as anything, and haven't, he might have never gotten any of this money. I mean, you and I thought he might not never back walk back on the field 2 years ago, right? So like now he's good for another upwards of $100 million, maybe. He's got to play that third year. I mean, I think this is more funny money, more like a $30 or $40 million
It'll be
deal.
non-guaranteed. It'll be a team option. This is basically a
Yeah.
2 year deal with
He
a team
rips his knee
option.
up in week two. I don't think DaCosta and Bisciotti are going to be on the hook for $24 million next year, right? So I would just, or as little of it as they can get away with contractually, I would just say this for the player rep part, for all the tough guy part in baseball and that's softened up a little bit, and it's going to soften even more as. You and I did an hour on pitching and money, and you're just like, "Hey, go get another $12 million reliever." And I'm like, "Well, baseball making that money is different. In football, we don't even have those conversations. But what we do have is about players who was a player rep instead of getting every last nickel out of it and going and playing for some losers, saying, "Yeah, I've been a rep and I fought the fight, but this is my last contract, and I'm 31, and I've been in the training room, and I just want to be happy and win. I'm not here to fight the fight of Gene Upshaw's, memory. You know what I mean? Like I just think when the rubber meets the road, these football players would all scab up. They'd all go suit up for $2 million a week. Their union is a jellyfish. And because of that, to some degree, there's a lot of money here. When it comes time to say, I want to make me happy instead of I'm going to negotiate every last nickel. I remember standing in a locker at an All-Star game with Tom Glavine that Messina didn't make the All-Star game and he was up in my thing. Take your buddy Messina back. I thought he was a union. I mean, I've had these kind of conversations with players, player reps, the late great Jim Poole here on the baseball side during baseball wartime in the 1990s. When you mentioned player rep to me, I thought about that for a couple of days. Player rep, if this was a real thing, would have gone and gotten as much money as he, because he would have to. Football don't work that way, man.
Well, it doesn't. And ultimately, I mean, when you have an agent, or even if you're part of a union, yeah, there are elements to that. And look, Ronnie Stanley wasn't going to take 12 million a year from the Ravens. I mean, he still got 20 million per year. Like, let's not act like it's chump change either. But when you get to a certain price point, and to your point, when you've made a lot of money, and when you go through an injury like he had, I think there's a certain amount of trust that you build up with the team that you're working with, the training staff, the doctors, all of that, in terms of when you go through something like that, there is a little more of a sense of some loyalty and some thought of, I'm comfortable here. They know my injury history. They know what makes me tick. They know what's going to help me.
And
He was
he's
a
not a guy that's going to go slap around for $6 million and be a backup in Jacksonville 4 years from now. He's going to hang it up as a Raven. I mean, you know what I mean? Unless
I would
some
think so,
sudsy
yeah.
thing happens and he has a chance to go win a Super Bowl and can't hear somehow, some way, or
Yeah.
they draft their left tackle with 27, which they might do.
They still could.
So there's some things that would force him into other places, but I mean, this is a happy story for all of
Sure.
them in a lot of ways. But I did want to bring up the union part of it because that doesn't exist as much. And I think it doesn't exist as much as when Paul Molitor was dug in the 1990s and other players, when they were only making $3 million a year and had $18 million in the bank. There's a whole different thing about having $100 million in the bank, too, and just saying, I want to be a happy individual. Like, just.
Yeah.
For any of these guys, and I think there's a different mindset amongst this era of player than that era. All the guys that laid down and got hurt 30 years ago, to Emmitt Smith that had to hang out to get their money from Jerry Jones 30 years ago, and all that stuff that went on. These guys are making. By the way, I want to throw one thing at you because we're long form here. We don't have a game this week. If Leonard Raskin was here, and by the way, he just got back from Iceland. He saw the Northern Lights. We did a big segment on that. If Leonard Raskin was here, he'd say that if Ronnie Stanley were interested in money, he would have signed in a state that was friendly to money, which would mean not the Rams, not the 49ers, not the Ravens, but the Jaguars. So when you sign with the Jaguars, you get a lot more money just because you're in Florida, and there's that too. So if you really want more money, you know what I mean? Ask Dion. He'll always say, "Tell the guys to sign a Florida team, make more money." You know what I mean? Like, I hear all of that, but that's a big consideration. And if
Sure.
we ever talk hockey and money and exchange rate and all of that, I mean, the money part of this in the NBA and all these guys making $20, $30 million a year, the tax part of it's enormous as far as where their agents would send them or not send them.
Yeah, and well, hey, Patrick McCary goes to the Jaguars, so maybe that was a factor for him in addition to getting 12 plus million dollars per year. But look, I mean, I think it's tough for us, us common people who aren't millionaires and all of that, to kind of relate to this. But at the same time, you kind of think about it through the lens of, okay, let's say you're comfortable with your job, you're comfortable with your compensation, you're comfortable with where you live, your family likes it. And then you get a job offer that is for more money, but you've got to pick up and move. And that means your kids going to a different school. And that means leaving your family potentially, or being further away from your family, and all those different things. So there are, as much as we joke, and us sports media type guys are as guilty of this as anyone, of making fun of this, as much as we joke when we hear players say that it's not all about the money, it's not all about the money. Now, that being said, when they say it's not about the money and they try to make it sound like it's not about it at all, well, that's a bold-faced lie. But
By the
there
way, the
are.
Super Bowl share was $171,000 this year. So if you win the Super Bowl, there's your pay.
There
So
you
if you
go.
sign with the right team, that's $171,000 you wouldn't get with the Patriots. So
Yeah,
there's just
sure.
that.
Sure. But for someone who's made the money that Ronnie Stanley has made, I mean, that's a nice.
Cab fare, yeah.
It's a nice little bonus, but it's certainly not life-changing money that it's a fraction of what you've already made. So, look, we know what the start of free agency is every single year. Everything that played out Monday, everything that plays out leading up to the start of the new league year when everything becomes official. And that'll be my little disclaimer. Keep in mind, all these deals that are agreed upon, we will see a couple of them change, right? We see it every year where someone gets cold
Pending
feet.
physical.
Yeah, right. Pending, well, that's part of it, but also sometimes another team comes in or a player kind of has second thoughts. We've seen guys agree to terms with another team and then they suddenly re-sign with their old
Dude,
team.
we were
So
talking about the baseball team and the pitchers the other day, and what could have been with Andrew Kittredge,
yeah, Jeff Hoffman, the Orioles reportedly had a 3-year, $40 million deal with Jeff Hoffman, who was an all-star reliever last year for the Phillies. Had some concerns about his shoulder. The Braves also had some concerns about his shoulder. He winds up in Toronto. Some of that stuff happens. Some you like to see it kept under wraps, which in that case, credit to those teams for doing that. So he's still got a nice payday from someone else. But again, you look at the numbers. Patrick McCary, 3 years, 39. Brandon Stevens, 3 years, 36. Malik Harrison, 2 years, 10. Chris Board goes to the Giants, 2 years, 6. And Josh Jones, who thought might end up actually playing a decent role for the Ravens this past year as a versatile O-lineman, but barely played because their O-line stayed as healthy as they did. He winds up going to the Seahawks on a 1-year deal, I think worth up to close to five, with incentives. So of those names, yeah, in a perfect world, you would have kept Patrick McCary, but not at $12+ million per year. Malik Harrison would have been nice to keep him just to have a little more depth at linebacker, but he ends up getting a decent deal from the Steelers. But in the case of Stevens, in the case of Josh Jones, even Chris Board, I mean, these aren't guys that are making or breaking your Super Bowl hopes in 2025. So we'll see how the market continues to develop. There's still good players out there. And the way the market always goes, there'll end up being some good players that are still there on Thursday or Friday or next week or 2 weeks from now. And that tends to be when the Ravens find the most value. But in the meantime, they are already on their way to securing some compensatory picks for next year. And we also know that that's a big part of what the Ravens do as far as their reliance on the draft and just accumulating as many lottery tickets as you can.
All right, Luke Jones will be monitoring all things tampering, non-tampering. We can't tamper with the Towson Tigers season, but we will be at CVP Towson on Friday doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll have the Magic 8-Ball scratch-offs. They've been lucky ones. They're purple and they're kind of fun to touch and scan. I did scan a loser the other day. I kind of felt bad about that, but there are no losers. There's only second chances. It's a non-winning ticket, as we like to say around here. It's also Gambling Awareness Month. I had John Martin on. It's also American Awareness Month of the Constitution and things like that. I'll be breaking out my passport and going to Canada with great Luke Jones. We're going to cross the border at Niagara Falls, come back over the Peace Bridge, trying to spread some peace and love to Canada. I hope Geddy Lee's going to be there. If you like Canadian music, Rick Emmett of Triumph joined me this week in a spirited discussion about politics and the geopolitical tariffs and whatnot. But we are going up to Canada 2 weeks from now. I skipped Florida this week. It was windy. It was terrible. Luke made the greatest decision ever to stay home and monitor all things Patrick McCary and Brandon Stevens on behalf of the Ravens flock. We're having a great week around here. March Madness is around the corner. We'll see you at CVP in Towson this week. We're going to be Pizza John's in Essex next week. Luke is threatening to bring an old-fashioned, old-school Essex baseball preview. I'm going to invite some of my Dundalk hoodlums across the Back River Bridge to Essex down to 702 on Back River Neck Road, and I'm going to teach them what a good cheesesteak is. There is a rumor, Luke, that Dave Shinen, have you ever met, do you know Dave Shinen by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know him incredibly well because his more extensive time on the Orioles beat came before me. So, but I've met Dave before. Yeah.
You do know Dave is a sage on all things baseball and a hell of a piano player. And he is going to regale us. He's back on the baseball beat. He was writing, incendiary baseball stories this last couple weeks in the Washington Post. So we're going to bring him on to talk to him about analytics and the game and the state of the game and opening day, which begins in Canada. What do you want? Let's play ball. Okay, Blue Jay. I mean, you're going to learn this song.
I
Rick
look
Emmett,
forward
not.
to it.
I tried to get Rick Emmett to sing it with me the other day. He kind of flatly refused, but I don't think it was in his key. And besides that, he's just doing nice music these days. So you can hear Rick Emmett. I'm chasing Geddy Lee. We had John Palumbo. It's a rock and roll month around here. It's March. We're getting up on baseball season. We have March Madness next week as well. And lots of crab cake tours out for everyone. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking. Baltimore positive.